What I want us to look at is the way Jesus handled the disciples. It is said when they entered a room, a house, or after a day, they would have their feet washed by a servant. And the servant would wash the feet. And at this stage, Jesus said, maybe book the house, but there was no servant to do that. And the disciples walked in and sat, ready to eat. And I think they ignored the culture of washing feet, because at one time they were eating wheat without washing their hands, and they were rebuked, but Jesus said, no, they are with me. Hello? So they just thought maybe Jesus would do likewise. But lo and behold, Jesus takes a basin and a towel and gets a towel in his waist and begins to wash the disciples' feet. Until Peter objected, but he attended to Peter's concerns, and Peter realized he needed a full bath. And Jesus said, no. You must understand what I'm doing. But what I wanted us to look at is that this one, it says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. And it says, having loved his own who were in this world, he loved them to the end. This is the part that I want to concentrate on. Jesus loved his own, but he loved them to the end. He loved his disciples. He loved them to the end. And I want us to look at the disciples, the mixture of disciples. Among the disciples, they had various differences among them. We had Peter, the most outspoken disciple, Peter, who wanted to be closest to Jesus, Peter, who wanted to respond always to every question Jesus would ask. Peter had the answers for Jesus, and Peter would say, Lord Jesus, why do you say somebody touched you whilst we are in such a congested crowd? So Peter wanted to respond to almost everything, even when Jesus did not say anything, Peter would just start saying something. Why don't we pitch up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah? So he was that outspoken disciple. But because of that, Peter thought he was the best. One time he said to Jesus, when all of the disciples have deserted you, I will be with you. I will die with you. So he singled himself out as the special one, as the best among the 12, whatever. So that was the other disciple. And there was among them one called Simon. He was called a zealot. He was a patriot. He loved his people. He loved his nation so much. He loved the Hebrew nation. He loved being Jewish. So he was that patriotic guy. But that patriotic guy would sit next to a tax collector, Matthew. I don't know what you would think about Matthew. Huh? Because he didn't like the government of the day. Neither did he appreciate the workers of the government of the day. So he would sulk and look down upon Matthew for working for the Roman government. So that was the nature of the disciples of Jesus. But among them, there were two guys, James and John. These guys, their mother came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I want to intercede for my sons. I'm just speaking on their behalf. won't you take one on your side on and one on the other? She wanted them to be the best of Jesus' buddies, who one on the right, one on the left. That was the nature of the combination of the disciples of Jesus. And also, among them was also this John, the beloved disciple. Each time he would be on Jesus' bosom, leaning on Jesus. So I don't know how Peter thought of John, because Peter thought he was the best, yet John would be the beloved. That was the nature of the group that Jesus led. And so there was this learned Matthew and these other learned guys that would be, but also among them were four fishermen. These guys knew fishing than anything else. They followed the rabbi. So I don't know what people, what the rest would say about the fishermen. But also, Matthew, being a tax collector, he didn't handle the money of the group. There was Judas. Judas handled the money. And Judas, as we look conclusively, we would discover that Judas might have been a swindler, a thief. He misused the money. Remember when that woman came to Jesus and poured perfume? Judas said, "What? This is too expensive. Why break the bottle? You should have given it to me. I would have made more money with it. Would have sold it and maybe invested the money." Did he mean it? We don't know. But we have known this later. But Jesus knew them all. He knew their hearts. He knew their intentions. He knew their attitude. He knew the way they followed him, what they perceived each other of. He knew them. He understood them. He knew them. Remember, it's at this table that they were having this supper that Jesus says, "One of you will betray me. One of you will betray me." And he did not. They started from the first one to the maybe towards the last one to say, "Is it me? Is it me? Is it me?" And Jesus, maybe with wisdom, stopped them not to get to Judas. But in Gethsemane, Judas comes and kisses Jesus. And Jesus says, "No, Judas, whatever you want to do, do it quickly." He knew. He knew them. So there was nothing hidden to Jesus. Okay, but with all that, Jesus loved them to the end. He knew their hearts. He knew their attitudes. He knew the different characters, but he loved them to the end. He never exposed them. He never tried to tell others who the other was. Jesus knew what he was doing to them. He said, "You are cleansed by the words that you hear from me." He knew that he was cleansing them. He knew that he was dealing with their hearts. Every day he was talking to them. He knew they were being changed. They were being transformed. They were being renewed in their minds by hearing his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Paul helps us say, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. How are we renewed? By hearing the words of life, the words of Jesus. So he knew what he was doing to the disciples. Even if they did not know what was happening, a lot was going on. Amen. It's just like us when we come to Christ. We just come as the sinners that we were. We come as the bad guys that we are. But daily, as we hear God's word, we begin to change. And we begin to feel it. We begin to know that we have changed, and people even testify on our behalf to say, you have changed, something in you has changed. You look different, you talk different, you walk different, you have abandoned this and that. Why? It's the transformation. The more we hear the word of God, the better we become. So this was happening to the disciples of Jesus. Jesus was working and walking, as he was walking with them, he was working in their lives to change their lives. He loved them to the end. He endured their different characteristics. He endured their behaviors. Why? Because Jesus' goal was the kingdom. His ultimate goal was the kingdom of God, not what they were doing today. So listen, brothers and sisters, here we are. We come in different. We are a mixed grill. We are a mixed bag. We are different. We have different characters. We have different perceptions. We have different desires. We have different likes. We want things this way. We want things that way. Each one wants things a different way. It's well exhibited tonight by the colors that we put on, by the styles that we are putting on. You just want something different. Hello? That's how we are. That's how we are even here. That's how we think. That's how we behave. That's sometimes we do not speak out, but we know what we are thinking. We are angry with each other because of this and that. We know we'd rather be with this one than that one. We'd rather be with that one than this one who is close to me. That's it. That's exactly what was happening among the disciples of Jesus. But Jesus, he loved them to the end. He loved them. He loved them. He did not challenge them in public unless when he rebuked the evil spirit that was in Peter. So, today I just want us to come to the place where we know in life we connect. We are connected by Christ. We are connected through Christ. We come to a common denominator. We come to Jesus. When we come to Jesus, you meet the other person. So the disciples, their common goal, their common place was Jesus. They met at Jesus' feet. They all needed Jesus, even though they did not like each other. Even though they did not click, but their bond was on Jesus. Jesus was their binding factor. Even today, our binding factor is Jesus. But now Jesus is modeling the way. That time he was working with the disciples, you will notice that when Jesus was arrested, the disciples were scattered. They scattered. Hello? And some might have even wanted to go back to where they belonged. They scattered. But they realized Jesus is risen. They all come back together to find out what's going on, what's really going on. And they realize he's alive. He's alive. Paul says, I want to be like Christ. I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. The power of resurrection that brought those disciples together. And Jesus, when they came together, Jesus says, go to Galilee. Stay in Galilee. And they met there. They dined together. They were together for 40 days. But afterwards, he says, tarry in Jerusalem. They were stuck together on Jesus' command. And when the Holy Spirit came, boom, they could not separate again. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help us. He will help us overlook certain things. Why? When he comes to us, he brings with him the fruit of the Spirit. The person you don't love, the Holy Spirit brings love, that you may love the person. The Holy Spirit produces out of you goodness that was never found in you. Wow, when the Holy Spirit comes, you were not good to the other person. You didn't look good. You didn't smell good. You didn't behave good. But goodness from the Holy Spirit, it begins to attract people to you. You begin to connect. You begin to just like the person. Don't you know there are those people when you say, who you would say, I didn't like them, but I just like them. I don't know why. I just like them. And there are certain people who, when people say, why do you tolerate this guy? Intolerable person. You say, I don't know, but I just like him. It's the Holy Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit that is drawing people to you. Hello? Don't we want to keep things to ourselves when we see certain people? You just want to keep them to yourself. But the fruit of Spirit produces kindness, and you want to share. And people wonder, was it from Amanda? Did Amanda? Because they know Amanda, but now it's not the other, it's that Amanda, it's the Holy Spirit at work in Amanda. The fruit of the Spirit is at work. Hello? Hello? Most of us, we have this short temper. We are just short-wired. Hello? We blow quickly when things happen. Okay, but with the whole fruit of the Spirit, you go to the person, you say, you don't know me. If it was yesterday. No, the Holy Spirit has worked in you. Something is going on. He's bringing gentleness, the gentleness that you never had. It's the Spirit of God at work. He loved them to the end. So Jesus is preaching this message to us to say, no matter what you see in them, no matter how they behave, no matter how they do things, love them to the end. Love them to the end. The love of God compels us. It's the love of God that will compel us. Brothers and sisters, there might be nothing good about me that you may like about me, but with Jesus, you just give me an extra time. You might not like the person, but after you are leaving, you say, see you tomorrow. What are you saying? There is hope for tomorrow. Because God is doing great things in our lives. Hello. He gives us forbearance. There are certain things that you cannot tolerate. And sometimes your wife says, how did you manage? Your husband says, how did you manage? It's the fruit of the Spirit. He gives you forbearance. So Jesus operated from that platform. Luke writes and says, I want to tell you how Jesus did signs and wonders, performed signs and wonders, and taught through the help of the Holy Spirit. So, when he left, he said, I will not leave you as orphans. I'll speak to the Father to send the Holy Spirit. Church, the Holy Spirit is with us. Don't worry about what you cannot do. Don't worry about what they cannot do. Remain together. Stay in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit is here to bring us together, to bind us together, to cause us to do great exploits. You know, it was not far from the death of Jesus that they said the guys who turned the world upside down have come here also. Why? The Holy Spirit was at work with them. Brothers, those guys who did not see eye to eye. I can imagine Nathaniel and Simon the Zealot looking at Matthew, thinking, really? 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 But these guys, later on, they turned the world upside down. So my brothers and my sisters, it doesn't matter what's going on today. You will turn the highway upside down. You will turn this area upside down. You just need to focus on the focal point on Jesus, and Jesus will cleanse us with his word, will change our hearts, will change our mind. Hello? I've had the occasions when I didn't like the person and I was upset about what they had done. I said, no, please, no, out of my sight, out of my sight, out of my sight. And when they begin to walk, I don't know what happens. And sometimes you don't like what the Holy Spirit does to you. He humiliates you instead of humbling you. He humiliates you. He says, come back. And you say, but don't do it again. Anyway, the Holy Spirit is at work, church. The Holy Spirit wants us to be in partnership, wants us to walk together, wants us to work together, wants us to do things together. And there's beauty in diversity. Many people fight. Many churches fight. Why? Because of difference. No, it's this difference that makes us beautiful. Rainbow Nation, Rainbow Church. We are different but powerful in our diversity. We can do great things in our diversity. So Jesus, being master, being rabbi, it was unheard of for a master to serve a disciple. And Jesus gets a towel on his loin and takes the basin and he stoops and washes the disciples' feet. The Bible says he washed them. After washing them, they sat down to eat. He washed even Judas' feet. And he sat down. He did not, Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he educates us on the Holy Communion, how to conduct the Holy Communion. And there is this portion of Scripture which says, "Set yourself before you eat." This is the most difficult portion of Scripture. And this Scripture is shared while the bread is already here and the wine is here. Set yourself. We are about to eat. Okay. If you do not find it worthy, please do not take. Hello? But do you know that in this life, most of what we do for the person next to us. Hello? And now you are not worthy, but you don't want the other person to know you are not worthy. Yeah? You see? So that's exactly what happens with us. We don't want the other person to know. We don't want the other person to know I'm angry with them. We don't want the other person to know I don't like them. But Jesus says, stick together. The Holy Spirit is doing a good work. The Holy Spirit is doing a good work in your lives. And there is Tim Keller. He shared something about love. He shared something about love. He called it kneeling love. He says, I don't like you. I don't like the way you do things. I don't like the way you talk. I don't like the way you walk. I don't like the way you dress. I don't like your style of life. I don't like this and that about you. But I love you. Liking is optional, but love is a command from the Lord. The Lord is not saying like their style. He said, no, love them. Jesus, when he was talking about love and about giving, about sharing in the Beatitude, he said, how often do we do good to those who do good to us? But Jesus says, no, do to those who don't like. But he goes a step further, a huge step further. He says, love your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Hello. Praise the Lord. There are certain people that we struggle with. And Jesus encourages to pray for people, okay? And when you pray, when I begin to pray for David, I pray for David, I pray, and sometimes I bite my lower lips as I pray for him, because I'm struggling with David. I force myself, I try to pray. So, after a day or so, I meet David, things are different. Because I prayed. What do I say to people? Prayer changes things. I prayed and David changed. No. God, when you pray, it changes your perception of David. It's you who has changed. Prayer wakes you than the other person. Prayer humbles you. Prayer breaks you. And you begin to yield to God's command. We are yielding to God's word. God's word is working in us. So, brothers and sisters, tonight, I am privileged to be here, and I want to thank God. The Lord is commanding us to love one another, to love to the end, to love to the end. Yeah, to love to the end. Let's walk toward the other person. Walk across the room and meet the other person. Sometimes we blame one another and say, he didn't walk to meet me. No, take the first step. Walk towards them. If they try to dodge you, find them around the way. Praise the Lord. Show them love. Show them love. And the love of Christ is contagious. The love of Christ changed the world. The love of Christ brought us together today. The love of God has brought the world together in the name of Jesus Christ. So let's show each other relentless love. Relentless love. Let's love. Let's love. We are different. We are different. Let's agree we are different. Let's agree we think different. We do things different. We have different professions. We have different backgrounds. Everything is different. But we have the same Jesus, the same Lord, the same Master. One God, one Father, one Son, one Holy Spirit. So, because of that, the Holy Spirit comes. He releases, he gives us the fruit of the Spirit so that we can worship together in one accord. The Bible says, remember these disciples, I told you, they didn't really like each other. But I like it when the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, while they were in the upper room, the Holy Spirit, or God, waited until they were in one accord. When they were in one accord, the Spirit of the Lord came upon each and every one. So, brothers and sisters, let's do it. Let's work out until we are in one accord. You will see the outpouring of the Spirit. You will notice that these gifts of the Holy Spirit have been given to everyone. For them to operate is through love. When we are in one accord, all the gifts will operate. The Lord bless you. I want to pray. The Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. The Holy Spirit is here. He is at work in us. The Holy Spirit here is here at work in us. Let's open our hearts and say, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, touch me. Holy Spirit, cause me. Holy Spirit, change me. Make me that vessel that you want to use. Make me that vessel that is willing and ready to be used. Holy Spirit, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for these, my brothers and sisters. I thank you, Lord, for your word tonight on relentless love. Jesus, you loved them to the end. You loved them to the end. You loved them to the end. You never discriminated. Even Judas, you gave him the bread. You gave him the wine. Lord, my God, for many, the bread and the wine was to life. But for Judas, because of himself, it was to condemnation. But Lord, I want to thank you for us tonight. That Lord, you want to promote us in this life. Oh Lord, my God, that we may fellowship with the Holy Spirit, that we may flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we may flow and flourish in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that we may walk and work together in one accord, that we may learn and have the intention to love people as they are, not to try to change one another. But Lord, make this body, make this temple, make this church, make this building, make these people who are your personal temple, who are your dwelling place, make them pure, Lord. Cleanse them, Lord, and Lord, use them. I thank you. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Holy Spirit. And I pray also for whosoever is in need tonight. Meet them at their very point of need. And for those who are not well, who are sick, Lord, with your healing wings, Lord, heal them. Holy Spirit, you are present here tonight to serve and to heal. I pray for healing tonight in the name of Jesus. And for those who have challenges, I pray for breakthroughs in the various areas of their lives. And Lord, may we testify that the Lord is with us and the Lord is here. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.